Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
We know there's reports out about requests to interview you, and Sean did confirm that those are happening. So we're just wondering, what is your approach to those and how you're balancing them this time of year? And what are your hopes to come out of those?
Yeah, you know, there really doesn't need to be much of a balance because, you know, my focus is strictly on trying to win the Super Bowl here and, you know, us trying to find a way to win this game this week. And, you know, the reality of it is some of the interviews, if interviews happen, would be next week. So really nothing for me to even think about right now and just kind of focus on Denver. And, you know, yeah, do I aspire to be a head coach? Yeah, I would love to, given the right opportunity and, you know, I'm honored to even, you know, the name be thrown out there. But right now, just my focus is finding a way to win a football game this week.
Where do you think is the biggest way you've grown as a coach? You know, whether it's in the last year here or over your career, just like, what was kind of a maybe turning point for you as a coach where you're like, okay, this is really working for me?
I think you're acknowledging that you got to continue to grow year to year. And, you know, I think when I first entered the profession, I thought that it was so much about the scheme. And the more that I've, you know, just been around, especially at this level, is, you know, just how important the relationships and your connection with your players and being able to understand where they're at and be able to communicate with them. And, you know, it's a player's game. And when you remove yourself and try to make it about the scheme, that usually doesn't go too well. And so, you know, I think that's a level that I got to continue to grow on, but something that I'm, you know, trying to, you know, continue to work on.
And then to jump topics, just you were working with some different guys yesterday based off, you know, either who was available or who the team wanted to see more reps out of. Asked Sean something similar, but just curious if there was anyone in particular that you learned about yesterday that, you know, with added time on the field, you saw something different out of them.
Yeah, you know, without signaling anybody, I think, you know, we got to play football yesterday and we're fortunate that we were able to rest some guys and we were able to rest some of the guys because of, you know, the guys that were willing to go out there and play 65, you know, special teams, 80 snaps. And so to me, you know, I don't think it's more so just, hey, how did they play? But more so like seeing the amount of reps that, you know, Quentin Morris and Reggie Gillian and, you know, and seeing Mike White go and take some reps for wide receiver just to help us. And Matt Collins not coming off of the field. And, you know, I've spoke all year about the character of our guys and, you know, their willingness to be like, hey, you know what, look, I get an opportunity to play football. Whatever I can do to help this football team. And you might play 15 plays, one play, and then, hey, we need you for 80 snaps and, you know, those guys ready and making the most of it. And so, you know, obviously not the result that we wanted. You know, I was pleased with the way that the guys kind of approached the week and how they performed.
And one more, sorry, I know there's other questions, but just with Mike White getting those snaps at receiver, what was the conversation like there for him?
Hey man, you know, we knew it was going to take all hands on deck yesterday, and you know, it's tough to go into a game when you got, you know, three wide receivers, and so Mike was part of, you know, playing quarterback position. You got to know where everybody is, and just even if it's just to take, you know, a couple steps off of a wide out, he didn't blink, I didn't get him any passes, which could have helped him a little bit, but. No, he was all about the team and whatever he needed to do.
To kind of follow up on one of your answers to Catherine, on how you became more open to being more open to building relationships with players. Is that just, I mean, how did you go about, what led you to tightening that grip, that hold on just X's and O's? And, you know, is it something just part of just growing, you know, being 34, 35 kind of thing?
Yeah, I think there's a thing like with coaching, right? You can coach for 10 years, but if you're coaching the same techniques and the same everything for 10 years, you know, in 10 years from now, have you grown as a coach? Or if you're, you know, for those 10 years, you're trying to find ways. And I have so many ways I have to continue to get better. And, you know, I think back to the first time I was an offensive coordinator, was COVID, and, you know, I got the job, and then less than a month later, boom, I didn't get that chance to, you know, I'm meeting guys for the first time at training camp. And, you know, you go through that experience, and when you, you know, you, you take a step back and there's a lot of things I needed to do better, you know, from a game planning and from a calling standpoint. But to me, I told myself, if I get an opportunity again, I'm going to make it about the guys and making sure that the relationships are there, and so that you can have the tough conversations, so that you can understand where they're going through. So then you can, you just know them as men. And so I know, you know, it was after this week, after this team last year, but so it didn't really kind of start, you know, exactly when I thought it would. But, you know, I told myself if it happens, I was going to make it about them. And fortunately, we have such a great group of guys that makes my life a lot easier. And you enjoy getting to know these guys.
I completely forgot about the COVID thing, because that's one thing that we always seem to forget. Last thing is, you get to see one of your old mentors in Sean Payton. What's that going to be like?
Yeah, fortunately, I don't have to defend him, right? You know, but, you know, I wouldn't be talking to you right now without my time spent, you know, learning from him and growing from him and just seeing kind of why he is who he is. And, you know, when you're a coaching assistant working for, you know, Hall of Fame coach, you know, it doesn't get much better than that. And, but, you know, none of that really matters come Sunday, right? We're both going to try to find a way to get the win.
Hey, Joe, speaking about the Broncos defense, they're one of the best in the league and have sacked quarterbacks at a higher rate than any other team in the league. You know, I don't have to remind you of this right now, but when you're preparing to go up against a defense like this, what is the messaging to your offense and the offensive line when they're facing a front that has four players with at least seven sacks?
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes you can just show a piece of paper and you might not have to say much, but it's playoff football, right? It doesn't get much better than this. I don't think you really have to say anything in meetings. You don't have to show them any paper. You know that you're going to be getting the best of the best when you show up on, you know, on game days. And, you know, this, you know, we get to go against the best defense in the NFL, and that's a great opportunity for us and for our guys. And you know, we've worked this whole season for these opportunities, and we're excited for the challenge.
As you watch the tape on this Broncos defense, what stands out to you? Why are they so good at what they do?
I mean, they're elite at getting to the quarterback. You know, they have the defensive player of the year, you know, on the outsides. And you can see just, Vance's, you know, personality with the way that they play. And they're a lot of fun to watch. And sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm going against them this week. And you know, they gave us a lot of issues last year, and so it's going to be a great opportunity for us.
You mentioned him kind of offhandedly, Pat Surtain, you know, one of the favorites for Defensive Player of the Year. In general, just kind of what is your philosophy when game planning against such a lockdown cornerback on one side of the field?
You got to be careful about how much you say there. But, I mean, look, there's only so much you can do when you're going against a great corner. And we have great wide receivers, and without getting into all the specifics of it, you know, it's going to be a great opportunity for our guys. You know, there's going to be opportunities, there's going to be chances. And he's been playing at such a high level dating back to, you know, I went against him when he was in college. You know, he's always been an elite football player. And when the opportunities come, you know, our guys are going to have to make the most of it.
You talked about their pass rush. How much confidence does it give you when you make a game plan to know, you know, how strong your offensive line has been this year, where you maybe don't have to kind of avoid certain parts of your playbook based on how strong their pass rush is?
Yeah. You know, fortunately, we're at the point of the year where, you're going to be going against every team in the NFL. The reason they're in the playoffs is especially on defense, is the way the defensive lines play. And we know we're going to get the best, and, you know, fortunately, I have so much confidence in our offensive line and you know, what they can do and how they play together. And they know the challenge is going to be, you know, at stake, and they know, you know, that they're going to have to be at their best. And I'm excited to watch them play.
You just talked about the O-line there, and I think it was only 14 sacks that you guys allowed this year. Obviously, they take a lot of pride in that, but I think a big part of that is Josh's ability to make the first rusher miss, whether that's a blitzer or just somebody who maybe beats a block and gets in there. What is it about him that makes him so darn good at making that first rusher miss and buying himself a little bit of extra time?
I wish I could give you an answer on that. And I think there's so much that goes into, you know, like, I don't believe sacks are strictly an offensive line stat. I believe now they should get all the credit. You know, they should get a lot of credit of it. But You know, receivers are just as important for sacks and making sure that they're running the right depths and the timing, the quarterback planning progression, and understanding the depth of the pocket. And, you know, there's so much else that comes with it. Unfortunately, we have a guy that, you know, when things do break down or when there is, you know, when the pocket isn't as dirty as he finds a way to be Josh Allen, you know, I wish I can give you a better answer, but a lot of times out on the football field, there's a lot of gray, you know, it's not very black and white, and, you know, the best football players play in the gray. And unfortunately, we have one that when the first play is over, you know, he's able to keep it alive and make a play on the second one.
You kind of answered it there, but the follow-up to that is there any way that is taught, that ability to make that first guy miss, or is it just in, you know, kind of innate in him and just part of what makes him special?
Yeah, I mean, it's you can work the drills, you can work, you know, pocket movements and stuff, but there is a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of things that Josh does that's not coached, you know, and that's part of what makes him elite. And don't get me wrong, he takes the coaching, but when there's a guy, you know, a free rusher or a defender right in your face, and you're able to make him miss, there's not a lot of drills you can do for that. And, you know, and that's part of just what makes him elite. I'll take him in the pocket. I'll take our offensive line all day, every day. And, you know, good things usually happen.
Yeah. And just the last thing on that, have you seen another guy, another quarterback who's got maybe not the ability to that part or, you know, to that level, but anybody that's even similar to Josh in just that ability to make that first guy miss like that?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, just off the top of my head, no, but I think so much that comes with sacks is the offense together, you know, with it. And so the offensive line, understanding a lot of things, but I think Josh has done such a great job this year when, you know, it's you know, I don't believe we've had at least the amount of sacks strictly because Josh is just making a bunch of guys miss. He's doing such a great job of playing in rhythm, and his feet and in the pocket and the understanding of the scheme and mastering it, and, you know, just orchestrating the protections. And I think that all kind of goes together with it. And then those, you know, those instances where it breaks down, just seeing him, you know, continue to create. And, there's not many guys like Josh Allen, right? So it's hard to compare. I'm not one that like to compare quarterbacks really in any way, shape, or form, but it's a question. Sorry, I wish I could give you a better answer there.
Hey, Joe, I was talking to Sean about Keon a little while ago, and you look at the box score the last 2 weeks and the 17 targets and only 5 catches, and it's kind of eye-popping because it just hasn't been like that for him all season. When you went back and looked at the tape from past weekend and then obviously last week's game, what are you seeing in terms of something not clicking there with Keon late in the season here?
Yeah, I don't think there's a rookie wall or anything like that. You know, there's some details and techniques that we can continue working on, and I think there's even just the chemistry with, you know, you go into a game with, you know, with Mitch and Mike, and, you know, just the feel and it all sounds like excuses at the end of the day. When you get 10 targets, you want to have more than 2 catches. And, but we have so much confidence in Keon, and there's a reason he was brought here, and he's going to make a lot of plays in this playoff. So I'm excited to see him continue to grow and, get to experience some playoff football this week.
To bring it back to the, you know, head coaching interviews and stuff like that, as you've kind of thought about this the last couple of years, and I don't know how much you have, but how much have you appreciated having a front row seat to somebody like Sean here in Buffalo and the success that he's had in the program that he's built, and how much have you learned from him?
Yeah. I mean, look, one of the, I didn't come to Buffalo to hope to be a head coach. You know, I came to Buffalo because, it was an organization that everybody talked about, and you wanted to see kind of how they did things. And, you know, I was spoiled being in New Orleans and seeing an organization that had already won a Super Bowl, and kind of seeing, you know, kind of on the brink, but seeing how they kind of did things, and then being able to come here and seeing the growth, seeing the alignment between Sean and Mr. Pegula and Brandon. You know, it's obviously not like this everywhere, and it's really special. And there's a reason you're able, you know, I've only been here for a few years, but they've been able to win for so long, and the consistency, and that's hard to do in this league. And you kind of take for granted sometimes, but just to be able to be a part of it and see it, see how coach runs an organization, how he communicates with his players. You know, his attention to detail, huge for my career, from a QB coach to an offensive coordinator to, you know, one day, you know, hopeful to be a head football coach. You know, being able to work with him has been, it's been huge for me.
I mean, you came right out and said it. Everybody eats, that mentality, man. How does it feel and how proud are you, man, to have, what, 8 receivers, to have over, you know, 20 catches or better? How proud are you are to make sure that everybody's eating?
I to me, it wasn't about necessarily just everybody eating, but more so the mindset of where I'm good with, you know, each guy being okay with other people having success. You know, and understanding that, hey, we're going to celebrate each other's success. And to me, it was never about trying to score a lot of points or trying to get so many people involved. It was about the guys just buying into one another. And that's the thing that I'm most proud of, is seeing when we score touchdowns, how they celebrate with each other. There's no guys walking off the field and mad that someone else is scoring or whatnot. And to me, that's what the everybody eats kind of mindset is. And so that's what, you know, that's what I'm most fortunate for.
30 points a game, second in the league, and Denver here, third in the league with points allowed. Is it any pressure as a 2 seed to go up against a 7 seed with so much of a solid defense that the Broncos have?
No, I don't. When you get to the playoffs, you know, the seeds have no bearing, right? You can throw records out, you can throw everything out. You know, it's 0-0 ball games, 0-0 records. And you don't care how it gets done. You're just trying to find a way to score one more point than them, right? Knowing it, whether it's 50-49 or 3-0, as long as we're playing next week, that's all I'm concerned about. And so we know it's going to be a great challenge, but it's a great opportunity for us.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.